Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
This country's
Hello and welcome to the Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cauley, and I'm joined by my co-host today, David Cabrera. Dave?
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. That was good.
Yeah, a little Groundhog Day intro.
It was the first time that you've also done the intro, like, without being having multiple layers of...
Yeah, right. At least for the last
few. I wanted to give you a break from that.
Yeah.
It was a lot last time.
How many were there?
Well, he refused to add a third layer.
That's fair.
He went on strike.
So there's actually some snow on the ground.
A lot of snow on the ground,
yeah.
Actually. I don't know what the actual total record was recorded or whatever, but it was like 8 to 10 inches.
Behind,
right?
Suns, yeah, where there's like a parking lot that hadn't been hit by the snow plows at my feet. Yeah, 6 to 8, maybe.
Okay, yeah. I was just going by like the cars out in front of my building. It's definitely 6 to 8, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Nice snowfall. Roads are clear.
We were told that we were going to get a lot of snow this year, so I'm down.
I'm down, too. I like the snow.
I like it when it's coming down, and then, like, 2 days later, you're like, God, this is gross.
Yeah, the slushiness has got to go, but yeah. Everything else is great.
So get used to that part.
Yeah. Nice intro, by the way.
Yeah.
For our furloughed friends.
For our furloughed friends. So we were supposed to have some furloughed friends on today, and we were... playing that clip because it is actually cold out and it's been snowing out, and I imagine for a lot of people in the DC area and kind of everywhere are feeling like every day is the same, and we were going to have some furloughed friends on, but they're not here for multiple reasons, but we're going to talk about some movies later. We're going to address some made lists about movies that should be good for the furlough or a government shutdown.
Yeah, if you're sitting at home with wondering what to do,
what
we're trolling
do
Netflix and Amazon Prime, we'll give you some guidance.
Yeah, when you have all the time in the world. yeah, but so we'll come back to that. I think we were going to...
I'm really excited to talk about last week.
Yeah.
Because we'll get to it, but you showed a film that I have never seen and didn't know about. For some reason, it's like slipped past me, and I just want to talk about this movie, maybe, and nothing else today, because it is insane.
I think that that's quite possible. So initially, we had this rundown of we were going to go over a couple of highlights from last week, one movie which we are going to focus on a lot, and then we're going to, you know, preview next week and maybe talk True Detective.
Oh, we can
get
to all that.
But. Yeah. But for now, let's jump into what Jason is talking about. I was thinking the two highlights of last week for me personally were Rumblefish.
Great Coppola film.
Great Coppola film. Black and white. Beautifully shot. Young Nick Cage. Matt Dillon. Mickey Rourke. Everyone was swooning over Mickey Rourke.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cool music. Tom Waits is the bartender.
Yeah, just like
Dennis Hopper.
A cool film that holds up.
Yeah.
You know, like just a great, great
it
cast of real characters.
It is a masterclass in style, for sure. Like some of the lines are kind of cheese, but it is very cool. Like even just like the shots where they're outside of the bar and like the way that the signs are on the bars. And you're just like, this is perfect. Beautiful.
Yeah, didn't he make that and The Outsiders
in the same year?
Right? Yeah, like right back to back.
Yeah.
I think.
Which one was first? We were discussing this.
I think The Outsiders was first.
The Outsiders was first, too.
I'm almost certain.
Yeah.
But Rumblefish, I think, is by far the better picture.
I think so. Yeah. It's visually perfect.
Right.
So there was that one.
Enough swooning over Coppola. How about the next one?
Yeah. We also showed Jumanji. I wasn't there for that, but yeah, I heard that that was very fun.
The new one or the Robin Williams?
The OG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The other movie that if the three listeners have been to Sons, you've probably seen this trailer in the last month or so because we trailered the shit out of it. It's a movie called Roar from 1981. I was very excited. Honestly, I was actually kind of bummed because there was a Madhu Mokhtar show. He's the guy that's in the like Tuareg Purple Rain movie that we showed a few years back, and he was having a show that same night, and I was like, well, I am excited to see this movie Roar. Like, we've been trailering it. I just had no idea how much it would deliver beyond the trailer.
Tell us a little, give everybody a sense of what this is.
So it's funny to me that the IMDb has just like a very, very brief description of it, which is a family goes to Africa to meet their father who lives with wild lions.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. So there could be a lot of interpretations.
It sounds like Born Free and some of these other films like that of the 70s and 80s, maybe.
However.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Everyone just, if you're listening and you're online, go to IMDb and just go to Roar and watch the trailer. It is insane. Yeah. What is going on in this movie.
And oftentimes, you know, at Sons, or, you know, when you see a trailer in the theater, sometimes they give you everything.
Right. They just over-deliver on the trailer. All the good scenes are done. And
that's it. War was not that. It was I would say that it was easily, I mean, maybe I have a blind spot in my mind right now, but easily the most thrilling movie that I think that I've ever watched.
Oh my God.
It's just nonstop, basically people running away from lions and trying to act like they are okay in these scenes where there are just a ton of lions and tigers.
And these are, I mean, like real people interacting with these wild animals.
This is a fiction film, but the actual interaction with the animals is the whole movie. And yeah, thank you, Jack.
Jerry, open the door! Come on! You think I'm crazy?
No way that animals weren't harmed. I think we said this last time we talked about it, but animals must have been harmed in the making of this film.
I know people were.
Yeah, that's what they say, at least. As a man falls off his motorcycle and a roar.
So that was a clip of, I believe, Noel Marshall riding around on a motorcycle with a bunch of lions chasing him, and then someone's trying to get into a building.
Yeah, so this is just, like, to put it in perspective, this Noel Marshall and Tippi Hedren, the great actress from The Birds and you know, Hitchcock fame, decide to make this movie. They're, like, safariing in Africa, and all of a sudden Tippi Hedren has all these great, you know, moments of, you know, just falling in love with these big, huge animals, and they decide that they're going to make this movie, and, of course, like, the only people they're going to get to do this are like their family.
Yeah.
So they enlist their kids. One of which, by the way, if you didn't know, Melanie Griffith, actress, is Noel Marshall and Tippi Hedren's daughter.
Yeah.
This thing is just like, they are really in rooms with multiple lions.
Yes.
And tigers. And leopards and cheetahs.
It's funny because it says, you know, on Wikipedia, it's like, Roar is a 1981 American adventure exploitation film. which I think is an interesting genre for it. I think it also felt like a slasher because within the first like 5 minutes, I mean, Noel Marshall is clearly like his character, and it seems like in real life was the craziest person out of out of everyone, because he got the closest and was like the most comfortable, quote unquote, with them, but also like he's just. He's like bleeding profusely within 5 minutes. And he's like smiling and like, oh, don't do that. Come on.
So in the movie, are they like, what is the premise of the film? Like what are,
I forget. No, I mean, kind of like it. He's there. And the goal is to raise awareness about, dwindling, wildlife and so forth.
Like we have to protect these animals.
These beautiful animals that are just mauling the shit out of you for an hour and a half. Yeah. So then, you know, he's there and he's trying to get to the airport or something. And then the family shows up. But honestly, most of it is like, I remember thinking at intermission, like, oh, so the first half was like that, and like the second half is going to be different. Like the first half is mainly he like is wrestling with them, and then there's some poachers that want to come and like shoot them, and he's like, you can't do that, and they kind of like fight, and then the lions attack everyone.
Which seems to be the recurring theme throughout the entire film, is just lions keep attacking everyone.
Yeah.
And apparently, so cinematographer Jan de Bont was mauled and scalped by a lion on set. Required over 120 stitches to sew his scalp back from where the lion had bitten his head. He actually returned to production to complete his DP duties. I mean, like 120 stitches to sew your scalp back on after a lion had mauled you.
Yeah.
Nobody left unscathed, right? I mean, Tippi Hedren broke her leg.
Except for the animals.
Yeah, the animals apparently were fine.
Yeah, I wish that it was out there. I mean, maybe it is out there. I wonder how many people were part of the cast and crew. Because the whole thing is like, so when you watch the trailer, it basically, you know, it's a bunch of people, a bunch of lions and tigers, and it's like, this is a movie that was made when Tippi Hedren, they moved what we just told you. And then it's like, no animals were harmed during this movie. 70 cast and crew members were. Right. And then it has a lot of reviews of like, it's like if Mustafa, it's like the Lion King, but if Mustafa took a switchblade to your throat or something. But I wonder how many cast and crew members there actually were. Like, is that 70 of the 70?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Or,
I don't see how anyone escaped unscathed. I mean, just looking at this film. But the film crew was filming inside of cages at one point just to keep them safe.
Sure.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
So they had cameras and people inside cages while the lions ran around loose.
With actors.
Yeah. So here's Tippi Hedren's life in this film.
Yeah.
She fractured a leg during production when an elephant bucked her off its back. Hedren was bitten on the back of her head by a lioness called Sherry. Hedren received 38 stitches to the open wound. The incident can be seen in the finished picture. It's a scene where she's heading back, or Hedren's hanging to the branch of a tree when 34 lions run across her. 34 lions.
Watching it, you wouldn't even know what was the one. Like, oh, that was the one.
The 35th lion bites her.
Jesus. Good loud.
And you can see it. She screams. The scream is real, and the blood coming from her head is real in the scene.
I also liked that there was a random scene where these like birds fly in and Tippi Hedren kind of looks up, you know, and she's like, I'm sure in her mind, she's like, oh, that was cute.
Right.
That movie about the birds.
Also, let's see. Oh, during filming in 1977, Melanie Griffith was mauled by a lion and required plastic surgery. She received 50 stitches to her face. 50. It was feared that she would lose an eye, but she recovered and was not disfigured, obviously. And on another occasion, the lion grabbed her hair and wouldn't let go. That moment made it into the film, which is also in the trailer, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Or the one of those teasers, I think. Or maybe it's in the trailer. Doesn't matter.
I think it is in one of the teasers. But anyway, you actually see this lion, like, having her
by the hair. Yeah, where he's just, he or she is just lying on top of Melanie Griffith, like, mouth open.
Yeah.
Tiffany's, like, trying to get the lion off. Keep filming.
I can't believe this thing got made. And apparently it almost didn't get made several times. I mean, they basically bankrupted themselves to make this movie. They sold their Bel Air home. They sold like 150 acres in Napa, like prime real estate that they got rid of. They did all these things just to get this film made. And I feel like while I'm insanely excited to see this movie... I feel like it was kind of one of those things where you're like, really? You did all of that? And this was, you know, you kind of ended up with this film that almost no one's heard of.
Yeah.
You know?
And we were talking before that it's strange to me that it has a 6.3 rating on IMDb. 6.3 isn't bad.
But it's nothing, really.
It's kind of somewhere in the middle, which is weird.
No, it's totally in the middle.
You would think that it would be either like, universally loved. I was thinking, like, for me, it was a 9, you know?
Right.
Maybe a 10. I mean, it was the most entertaining thing. I remember just at intermission, when intermission came
out. Yeah, how was the crowd?
I mean, everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. No one thought it was going to be that intense, I don't think. I certainly didn't. It was just 90 minutes of people running away from lions and tigers. Noel Marshall, you know, the dad, he goes somewhere at some point. I don't remember where he was going. But then the family make it back to the house before he does. And then there's like, I want to say there's like a 30-minute scene of them just like running away in the house. It's like all in the house and on the outside of the house. Some of them fall off the roof into some water and shit. And like, it's just the most claustrophobic, terrifying, entertaining. It was,
These aren't like trained animals, right? Like they're not.
I don't. Clearly not.
They're just wild animals.
I was going to say I don't think so, but clearly I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like this isn't. There's not like a corral, you know, zookeeper type guy, you know, that's taking care of these animals on a daily. I mean, like they're just with these animals.
Yeah.
And it's not just, I mean, there are like leopards and cheetahs and tigers and I saw a mountain lion.
The whole fam.
Yeah. It's insane. Like any big cat you can imagine is in this movie.
I was trying to, oh, here we go. So there's this, there's probably more like backstory to this than could actually be covered in one screening. Wait, what?
What have you got?
Oh, never mind. Sorry, I thought that was a remake, but it was a re-release trailer. However, there's a New York Post article here, and the headline is "Son of Roar Director." It's bleeped out, but I can say it. He was a fucking asshole for making us do the movie.
Well, it's the three kids, right? The two boys and Melanie Griffith.
Yeah, New York Post with the scoop. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, whatever. But also, it's probably true. I would probably feel that way. Dad was a fucking asshole to do that to his family, says John Marshall, who as a teenager agreed to star with his father, younger brother, stepmother, and stepsister in a bizarre project that dragged on for 11 years and caused dozens of brutal injuries. It seemed like a really cool idea at the beginning, but it was dangerous.
Well, John Marshall, the son, was the first victim, apparently, on the film. He was attacked by a lion who clamped its jaw around his head. It took 25 minutes to get the lion to let go of his head, and the result was 56 stitches.
Interesting.
That's incident number one. You know, like first day of filming.
Let's keep going.
Kids, suck it up. What's 56 stitches amongst family?
So here's a quote from Noel Marshall, I believe. It just says Marshall, but I'm assuming it's him. It says, "You're fine with lions and tigers as long as you don't show any fear," Marshall recalls. "The problem is that the plot required us to show fear. These animals who had learned to respect us were totally confused when we started acting terrified."
Oh, my God.
I imagine that there's some truth to that. I still don't think it's a good idea to just make a movie openly running around with.
I just can't imagine this thing getting made. I mean, and the backs are like, it deserves its own documentary or something. This is insane. This movie just blows my mind. And how more people have not seen this thing is beyond me.
Are there other films, Jason, that make you feel that way? Where it's like, how was the production of that possible back then?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something that comes to mind.
I mean, there are certain movies that are genius in their own right or so unique in their own right. Or like Citizen Kane, you're like, wow, he really made that in like 40, whatever. Yeah,
39 or whatever. Yeah. Or 41.
Early 40s.
Yeah.
I more mean like the kind of dangers of, you know, like this film.
I can't think of a more like actual, like outside of maybe a documentary.
They say that the wrestler, Aronofsky's wrestler, there were like a lot of scenes where people actually got hurt and stuff, right?
I can believe that for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there. I'm not kidding. I'm just going to put this out there. I just Googled like most dangerous movie ever made. Touted as the most dangerous movie ever made, Roar was the ill-fated brainchild of Alfred Hitchcock's muse, Tippi Hedren, and her then-husband, Exorcist producer, Noel Marshall.
Oh, that's right. He produced The Exorcist.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like, they're like a real Hollywood family. You
yeah.
know?
And this movie took 11 years to make.
I mean, seriously. I can't.
Marshall recalls, "I looked up and there was blood on his teeth. It took 6 guys to pull him off me, and I got 56 stitches. I had to work with that lion on and off for 5 years because we kept running out of money."
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? And then following a clash between two lions, Melanie Griffith quit the production. Hedren quotes her as saying, "Mother, I don't want to come out of this with half a face."
This is brilliant.
It's amazing no one was killed. Hedren once said of the film.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, you had hundreds of big cats and just people running around. Children.
Like, interesting. Marshall says that Roar was never theatrically distributed in the U.S. because of suits brought on by creditors. With less than $2 million in worldwide ticket sales versus a budget that swelled to $17 million, it's considered one of the most disastrous productions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the most, somebody described it as being the most expensive home movie ever made.
Tippi and Melanie kind of want to forget about the whole thing, says Marshall, who's still in touch with them, which is a bad sign.
Yeah.
"I still get nightmares when I watch Roar, so I don't see it too often." That's Marshall. Wow. But then he said he doesn't regret the experience. He was like, "It was amazing to live through that. I should have died many times. But I kind of want to do it again."
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
It's hardcore, man.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't think of anything like it.
Yeah. I'm glad that we should come back to this when you...
Yeah, yeah.
When you actually get to sit down and...
Screen it, yeah.
Yeah. Because... and I'm glad that you didn't know about this movie, because I think it gave us...
I am blown away.
I mean, you would have been blown away either way, but like if you had seen it, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of the most, I would put that up there on one of the most fun, like the wet, or not wet, Hot American Summer. What was the one, the summer?
Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp, which was just super fun. This was up there. I mean, this was, like you could hear people like,
it's brilliant. Well, go see Roar. If you can find it somewhere, watch it. I mean, even just watching the clips and the trailer blows your mind, I promise.
And yeah, I imagine that there's just like so much interesting shit out there about this movie.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you Google it,
we have
tons
of
stuff comes
up. We have the Blu-ray. I wonder what some of the extras are. I'm a little concerned. Because then it's just real. Like, it's not part of the movie.
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. All right. So.
I think we've exhausted that. I think that's.
Sink the most our teeth into something else.
I think that's the most we've talked about a movie in a while.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun afterwards to wrap it up, I guess. I mean, everyone was just kind of talking about it and taking it in. And, like, I think everyone was just kind of, like, mind blown.
Like, right. Like, exhausted.
In shock and in awe. And, like, what? I can't believe that. I can't believe that was real.
Oh, I love it.
What
do you got coming up?
What do we got coming up? I don't have any of those clips there. But The Lobster.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming up Wednesday. That one is sold out. I'm basically talking about the ones that are all sold out, but they are the ones that I'm certainly the most excited about. I actually just recently watched The Lobster for the first time.
I did too, actually. I'd seen it in the theater when it came out and rewatched initially. it a couple of weeks ago, and it's, I think, his most disturbing film.
Interesting.
It really bothers me.
Interesting.
I have a hard time with that movie.
My understanding was Killing of a Sacred Deer was that for a lot of people.
It was.
Even more so than Dogtooth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. I haven't seen Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Okay.
Mary Ellen and I started watching it like a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, "Ah, let's not do this tonight."
Yeah, yeah. No, you've got to be in a good place.
And I've only heard really good things about The Favorite.
Oh, The Favorite's exceptional. Jack, have you seen The Favorite yet?
I have not. No.
Oh man, you got to check that out.
I thoroughly enjoyed The Lobster. It's interesting. I found it to be more funny than harrowing. Like, in its harrowing, cynicism or observation of, like, modern-day love,
mm-hmm.
It somehow makes it funny. Just, I wonder if there's anything out there about why his characters talk the way that they talk.
I don't know. He's got an interesting language, that's for sure.
Because as soon as I started watching Killing of a Sacred Deer, I was like, oh, they're talking in this sort of, like, very monotone... yes, I am doing that.
Right.
Okay. Da-da-da-da. It's weird. But it's unsettling also.
Right.
I think it's what adds to the...
No, it definitely does. And I mean, I don't know. I just struggle with The Lobster. I get the humor in it, don't get me wrong. Everybody's great in it. I mean, Olivia Colman and Ben Whishaw.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just some great performance. John C. Reilly, of course. And you know, of course, the stars, Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz. But, yeah, it just, there's some stuff in there that just really just hits me. And I mean, if you're not familiar with... this director, this Greek director, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah.
He's made some very interesting movies. Look up Dogtooth, look up The Lobster, which we're talking about now. But
yeah.
He also did a film called The Alps, which is about...
Have you seen The Alps?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But
I don't know anyone that's really seen that one.
It's hard to get. It's hard to find.
Isn't it in between Dogtooth and Lobster?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Or may have even preceded Dogtooth.
Okay.
Actually, I think it may have. But anyway, he, you know, is in the vein of, I would say, like, I don't know, maybe we overuse him, but like David Lynch or somebody like that, mm-hmm. who just tells a very unique, takes a unique look at storytelling.
Yeah.
And the way he unfolds a story is very unique.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about
The Lobster. It's interesting. It's interesting. I didn't get it the first... I started to watch The Lobster a few times,
mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I do this often where I, like, sometimes I just put on movies at night to fall asleep to, but I put it on to watch it a couple times, and I only made it, like, you know, 10-15 minutes in, and it felt, like, contrived or something to me. I was like, oh, I don't know, and then, like, the last time I watched it, I made it, you know, past that part and was like, oh, I get it. I like, yeah, this is dark. This is good.
Well, and he takes a minute to set things up. I mean, he doesn't. Totally. There's no exposition generally, you know. Or when it comes, it's very well hidden. You don't. It kind of just unfolds. You are 15, 20 minutes in before you're like, oh, I see what's happening.
Oh, here. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Dogtooth was certainly much more shocking. Like, there's a lot more shock factor happening there.
I agree.
But maybe not as
I don't know, though. Yeah, the lobster, if you're not familiar, it's a story about, can you help me out here? But it's basically...
in a future society where, what is it... Only people,
if you're divorced or you're widowed, you have another opportunity to find a mate.
Yeah, is it like 60 days?
45 days to find a mate. You're taken to this compound, and you get to decide if in that time you don't find a mate, you get to pick what kind of animal you'd like to be turned into.
Yeah,
and apparently that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so Colin Farrell decides he wants to be a lobster if he doesn't make it.
Excellent choice.
Excellent choice.
A lobster is an excellent choice.
But
his brother, which I didn't realize until going back and watching the trailer, when he's checking in.
Right.
He's checking in with his dog.
His brother.
Yeah, who is his brother. Right. He's like, he didn't quite make it.
Right. But anyway, so... obviously an interesting little film, and just
good thing it sold out because we just gave it away to everyone.
No, you didn't give away the ending. The ending's still very shocking.
That's true.
Cool. Which all of his films are. What else you got?
I mean, honestly, the only other one that I was really going to talk about was Best in Show.
I just watched that this weekend, not knowing we were going to bring it up today.
Nice. It's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. Christopher Guest. It's just basically a national dog show, and all the characters that show up with their animals to, you know, compete. And it's kind of the usual cast of characters, you know, Fred Willard, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, all the folks from, you know, Christopher Guest's kind of This is Spinal Tap, Waiting for Guffman, For Your Consideration, The Mighty Wind, all these films that he's made with this kind of ensemble cast. And Best in Show's no exception. Came out in 2000. Really, really funny movie.
Hey, Jack. Can I just added a clip, but I want to preface it. It's a clip of this. SNL just did a thing called the Westminster Daddy Show, that's like supposed to be like a dog show, but it's daddies. Could you play maybe the like first 30 seconds of that?
Yeah, totally. Here we go. This is the Westminster Daddy Show here.
Welcome back to the 85th annual Westminster Daddy Show.
Well, it's Christmas time, so you know what that means.
I do. It means it's time for the Daddy Show.
It is.
We're finally up to Best in Show category, and I have to say, this year's competitors are raising the bar.
They are indeed. For anyone just joining us, this is a dog show, but for daddies.
Now, what exactly is a daddy?
Well, think George Clooney, but achievable.
Love that. It's like we say... Any man can be a father, but it takes a hot, middle-aged guy with a big job to be a daddy.
Okay, here comes
That's
our
right. Pitch. Yeah. Anyways, I saw that the other day. I thought that was funny.
Matt Damon, of course.
Matt Damon. So that's kind of relevant to what we were talking about. They probably wouldn't have been able to come up with that without Best in Show, right?
Yeah, and speaking of all this, I mean, we're talking about a lot of animals. That is the theme for January.
Correct,
for
you. Yes. If you were just joining us, something.
I believe that was a dog in the lobby.
Whoa. God?
Perfect timing.
Yeah, so the theme for this month, I'm not sure. Did we already go over this? But no. Suns does themed months, some that are more arbitrary than others, some that are more succinct than others. This one was pretty... thorough, I think. The name of the month was Janimals. Every movie has either an animal in the title or is about animals, for the most part.
Specifically
like Roar. This week coming up, we've got Dogville, The Crow, To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of them are a little bit more of a stretch, like Buffalo 66. Yeah. They're not talking about
it. Right. It's not a Buffalo the Animal.
Yeah, but, you know.
It works.
It's fine. Where were we? I apologize. I lost my...
No, we were just talking about stuff to do, or we were going to talk about stuff to do during the shutdown.
Let's do that.
Should we
take a short break, or...
I don't know if we can.
Oh, can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll listen to some more roar sounds. And we'll come right back.
I love it.
Cool.
Jerry, open the door! Come on! You think I'm crazy?
Very unsettling.
I'm getting, so I actually good. Like had to like look over to Chad and was like, okay, like I'm getting anxious again.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, that's a clip, and that's just the audio from Roar. We've been discussing the movie Roar from 1981. We showed that last week at Sun's. We talked about some things that are coming up, and now maybe if you're listening, you're not working. There's a government shutdown going on right now.
Yeah, if you haven't heard,
which means Big Macs for football players. Did you hear about this?
No, what are you talking about?
Trump had he had the Clemson football team come in, and he just had this like tables full of like Big Macs and shit because like the
oh right
the White House staff.
Right.
Well, see, the fucked up thing there is, like, the Navy services the mess hall. It's not affected by the shutdown, so he's just trying
Right.
He's trolling, but...
Yeah, okay. What a weird...
Like,
what
hundreds and hundreds of Big Macs and fries and Domino's pizzas.
What a weird
and,
trolling move. Anyways.
It was a weird one.
Yeah. So you could do that during the shutdown, or you could watch some movies, and we were going to kind of... found this CNN article that I was going to dissect a little bit. Jason, you have some of your own that... you might want to.
Yeah, let's talk about the article, though. So yeah. CNN kind of threw out at this, I guess.
So they were saying these are movies to watch during the shutdown. I thought it was kind of clever. They had like clever reasons behind them. You know, sadly, the panda cam has gone dark during the shutdown, but there are still tons of other lovable animals you can enjoy.
At the National Zoo.
Right. Including the cast of the 2005 hit film Madagascar. That, I mean. You could just make an argument to go to Sun's this month if we're using that logic.
Right. Go see any of the animal movies at Sun's.
Any animal movie. You could see lions and tigers actually interact with humans. What's the next one? Blue Collar. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, Blue Collar's Paul Schrader.
Yeah.
Film.
Cool. Harvey Keitel, Richard Pryor.
Yeah, real true blue collar kind of factory workers, you know, dilemma.
Sticking
type of
it
movie.
To the man.
Yeah, basically.
Got it.
Pryor's fantastic in it.
Cool.
In a very, like, change-up dramatic role.
Serious role? Yeah. Oh, right on. On the list. All the President's Men.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. That's a movie you could just kind of watch, you know, now until, you know, whenever.
Whenever things come back.
Whenever things come back or change. I think they're showing that at, or they showed that at AFI or something. Worried about NASA? Check out 1995's Apollo 13.
No, don't do that. Check out 1982 or 3's The Right Stuff.
Right Stuff is good.
So good. Much better film.
What's the NASA doc with, Brian Eno did the soundtrack for?
It's a Tom
Hanks? For All Mankind or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That one's good. Some have expressed concern about the health of the nation, but at least our situation isn't as concerning as what Marion Cotillard, Dr. Lenora Orantes faced in 2011's Contagion. It's a long sentence.
Didn't love that film either.
Hmm. I don't think I saw that.
It's better than Outbreak, but...
Which I think...
Is the next film.
Is the next one.
Outbreak is awful. Do not watch Outbreak, anyone.
I forget where I was and it was on in the background.
It is so bad. I mean, this is just a movie that goes nowhere.
It was in a bar. Real fast. A TV
with a bunch of stars in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Worried about a lack of funds for the Center of Disease Control and Prevention? Watch Outbreak. Nah. What do we got here?
Glory.
Glory.
Coming up. That's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington earned his first Academy Award for that, or received his first Academy Award for that. Best Supporting
that
Actor,
was his
Morgan
first one?
Freeman. Yeah.
That far back? Damn.
Yeah. Was it 89? Yeah.
That's cool. What is their reasoning for that, though?
The American Battle Monuments Commission is closed.
I thought they were like, because we're going to have a civil war if they don't. Right. Well,
that's on the ticket as well.
No Smithsonian. Talk about a bummer. But your hankering for artifacts can be appeased with the 2004 film National Treasure.
With our favorite guy.
With Nicolas Cage. You know, I think that could be kind of fun. And John Voight.
Yeah. No, it's a.
Have you seen Anaconda? Did we talk about Anaconda on here?
I've seen Anaconda.
And how just the whole movie is, the funniest parts are any time you're just looking at John Voight.
Right.
Because his face is insane. What do we got here? This one. Oh, yeah. Manchurian Candidate. And if your tastes run towards conspiracy theories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can get on board with that. Frank Sinatra.
Cool. Yeah. I only had one other one. I mean, other than, I do think Groundhog Day is a good one, just of like every day kind of being the same. And it's like, oh, we're still doing this shit. Still here. Same day.
Oh, I agree.
Or the day Groundhog is just kind of.
Groundhog Day is fantastic. I had a couple. There's a, speaking of George Clooney from earlier, Good Night and Good Luck, his 2005 film starring David Stratham. Fantastic film if you haven't seen it.
Is that about the Pink Scare?
Yeah, it's Joseph McCarthy and Edward R. Murrow, kind of Edward R. Murrow taking down McCarthy step by step. And just tremendous film, black and white.
Yeah.
Great, great film. What else did I have on the list? Oh, I think an underrated film is Munich. Steven Spielberg's.
I think I saw that in theaters. I remember really enjoying it, and then everyone kind of, I feel like, friends were
also 2005, but yeah, no, people like, I, for some reason, like, gave it some crap when it came out, and I don't know why, because I'm telling you, go back and watch it, it's a masterclass,
yeah,
on filmmaking. And cool. Eric Bana is just tremendous, great cast all the way through. Daniel Craig,
yeah,
early Daniel Craig in there. Fantastic movie. Oh, 3 Days of the Condor. Have you seen this? Robert Redford.
No,
maybe. You haven't, Faye Dunaway, Steve, Sidney Pollack film, like 1977, I want to say,
I'm
somewhere
looking,
around
I'm
in
looking,
there.
I'm looking. It looks familiar. I don't think I've seen this movie.
Oh, no.
Booker CIA researcher finds all his coworkers dead and must outwit those responsible until he figures out who he can really trust. Okay.
Yeah, 75.
That works.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally get on works. Board with that.
Yeah.
No, it's a kind of a fun... kind of cat and mouse caper movie.
Totally. Redford. Faye Dunaway.
Like both kind of prime Redford and prime Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
Looking amazing. Kind of traipsing all over the place.
Yeah,
fantastic. And then, of course, Battle of Algiers. Great revolutionary film.
Woo! That movie is so good.
It is so good.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a good... Like, I got nothing to do today. I'm going to hunker in and just plow through this kind of overwhelming film. And then the last one I had was kind of Vietnam era, called The Killing Fields. Hopefully people are somewhat aware of it.
Sam Waterston, isn't it?
Yeah. No.
John Malkovich.
Great early Malkovich film. 1984 Roland Joffe, the guy who did The Mission and some other great works, but basically about journalists working in Cambodia kind of as everything is blowing up.
Yeah.
Kind of the last helicopter out, that whole kind of, you know, timeline. It's fantastic. Long movie, I think, about 220 or something, but it's well worth your time.
It is actually 2 hours and 21 minutes.
There you go.
How did you know that?
The only other one that I was going to add, well, assuming things are going that the way they're going, is 28 Days Later.
That's nice.
Yeah, I was thinking.
What day are we in now?
Is this 25 or 26?
We're getting close.
Yeah. I don't know. What day are we on? Shutdown 2019.
I think it's got to be I don't know, but 28 Days Later is perfect.
It's going to, yeah.
We're going to get there, I think.
Yeah, and like everything is, there's no food, there's nothing. Whereas everything's shut down completely, except for there's a bunch of zombies running around. That movie's pretty, I thought it was like actually kind of scary.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic.
The like whole realism shooting and
yeah, and they got like I just saw some behind the scenes stuff where they were talking about like how they spreading trash around and all this stuff and had to like clean up all this trash.
They got actual zombies.
No, like but the shutdowns on the and some of the spots in London and everything where they were shooting were like
really that almost one scene. Impossible. Yeah, there's that one scene on the bridge, too, which I wondered how they pulled that off.
Yeah, they did that, like, on a Sunday morning. It was a holiday, like, on a Sunday morning. Yep. And
that makes sense.
They had, like, 2 hours to do the whole thing.
Damn.
And, you know, basically just ran out and shot it.
I remember that was the main thing that I was thinking about when I saw that the first time. I was like, how did they get this shot with just, like, this one guy on a bridge and there's literally no one anywhere around in this major city? That makes sense, though. I mean, DC can be like that.
It definitely looks like that right now if you go down on the mall.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, should we talk about True Detective and all?
I don't mind. I just watched it last night, actually. Jack, have you seen True Detective yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, season 3's up. We don't talk a lot about TV, obviously, but this is it's a
very cinematic show.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack.
Right. Most people loved the first season with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, hated the second season with Colin Farrell and
Slash didn't really finish it.
And Slash didn't finish it in some senses. Yeah.
Found Vince Vaughn insufferable.
Yeah. But season three
seems to be more in vain of season one.
Right. Out of the gate, starts with a deposition. It's kind of a three timeline character arc. 1980, 1990, and present day, or 2015, I guess.
Yeah.
Following the same character through this timeline. And, you know, two kids go missing right away. This is the case. Small town, I forget what it's called, but in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And, you know, are on the case.
Is it based off the West Memphis 3?
Yeah, that's what everybody keeps saying. Like, I don't know if they're admitting to that, but everybody is pointing to that, like, as the obvious correlation. But so far, so good. HBO's put up the first two episodes. I think it's getting overwhelmingly good response. Mahershala Ali, Academy Award winner for Moonlight. Good.
I mean,
he's tremendous.
So they're in the first two episodes, anyway, he's playing himself at three different times, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Three different ages, 30, 40, and like 65.
When the crime took place, 10 years after that, and then sort of present day, which is around now.
As an old man, yeah.
Yeah. I was shocked also by how good the makeup.
Oh, no, they make him look.
When he looks old, he looks old.
Yeah, and the like age appropriate. Even the difference between him.
He looks like Morgan Freeman now.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Even the difference between him and like age 30 and age 40 or whatever you know, is
totally
obvious. Like, you know what timeline you're in. They did a phenomenal job. And I was going to I was going to give a shout out. Shoot. I'm going to screw it up. I'm blanking on the name. His partner.
Who does play the partner? Oh, I actually don't. Was it Dorf?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Sorry. Stephen Dorf. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those guys, when you saw it, you're like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved him in Somewhere, but everything else, I'm kind of not really loving him. And yeah. He's great in this.
So, Who, is it the same writer for all three seasons?
Yeah, it's...
Because this one seems like... I don't know. I guess that happens.
Yeah, it just seems like it's Nick Pizzolatto.
Okay. It's hard for me to see how they went so wrong in season two after season one. I mean, clearly they listened to everyone.
Yeah, no, I think they realized, like, to go back to the same formula that worked in season one.
I'm a little nervous that it's too close to season one and some of the motifs, but I think it holds on its own. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I'm in.
I don't imagine myself.
Yeah, the missus and I were like looking at each other after the second episode. I'm like, all right, I'm in. You know, I'll watch this.
Yeah. Unless Vince Vaughn shows up,
I think you're safe.
Just those long, drawn out scenes where it's like Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell just sitting at that bar.
Yeah.
And why are we staring at these dudes just sitting here? I don't want to watch this. I made it about halfway through that one.
Yeah. Season two's rough. Season three looks like they're back on the mark. So something else good to watch while you're on furlough.
Totally. I think so.
Sitting around the house.
And are they going to be releasing two episodes at a time, or is that just the first one? I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. I think maybe they just did it for the first week to.
We had like a little watching party, which, and I thought we were just doing episode
the
one.
First
I didn't realize
episode.
There was two episodes, and I'm like, oh, all right. We tried to watch some light things in between, because they're just the dolls and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, but good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for us, right?
Yeah. Do we have a clip to play out?
A little bit more of
a little bit more terrifying. I think this is a scene with where there's like a lion on top of Melanie Griffith.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh God.
So
let's go out on the peaceful sounds.
Yeah.
Of actors fearing.
Find Roar, everyone. Go see it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Get off of her! Open her!